Come on, give him a praise. Isn't the Lord good? The Lord is good, and he's a wonderful God. We thank the Lord tonight for his mercies upon our lives and his goodness and all that God has done for us. We appreciate the Lord, right?
Yes.
We had an awesome service this morning, and thank God for the testimony and Sister Linda and others, and we thank God for his goodness and his mercies. And we love to study the Bible, and you've got to slow down and take your time to study the Word of God.
Amen.
You love the Bible?
Yes.
That's your meat, your drink. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Tonight, Brother Kobe was touching scriptures in Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1. Thought it was so precious as he was touching those. Wasn't those precious scriptures?
Yes.
Let in Ephesians chapter 1. I wanted just to look at those a little bit, because sometimes we read scriptures and we go over very fast and we don't understand it. Mm-hmm. That's what happened to us today in this age that we're living in.
Yeah.
Is there so much confusion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you turn on your television, you were saying, and the news, and what's coming over, and all of that negative stuff that you get in your mind, and what's going on, that you wonder sometimes what is right and what is truth. But when you stay in the Bible and you get the Word of God, you sit in a church and somebody and a group of people like the Bereans would search the Scripture. Notice, what did they do? Study, search the scriptures daily. We need to search it daily like the Bereans. And they were more nobler than the Thessalonians. And they searched the scriptures daily and with readiness of mind. Readiness of mind. You got to have your mind prepared. You come to church, you need to get your minds prepared. You just don't rush and begin to ask God for things. Give me this, give me that. You have to wait on the Lord and be respectful and reverence and just realize where you are. You're not in the, it's not just in the presence of the preacher, but you are in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. And Paul was a wonderful man of God. He was one of the greatest. And how God reveals himself to this great man. I love the writings of Paul. I love his words that he received from the Lord. He knew a man, said, I knew a man in Christ Jesus. How many? About 14 years or 15 years ago? How many? 14 years ago, that whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell you. But I knew such a man, that such a one was caught up unto the third heaven, the paradise of God. That's what he said in his writings, right? In 2 Corinthians, I think it's 12? 2 Corinthians 12. Look at that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's just look at the Bible tonight. Can we are home folk. Can we just study the Bible tonight? Oh, I feel good. Is that all right to take our time and get studying the Word of God? And let's not worry about anything on the earth. And let's not worry about watches and cars and bread and butter. Can we study the Word of God tonight? Is that all right with you? Okay, is that all right? Okay, you already have a can of sardine or spam in your cupboard, so let's not worry about anything else, right? Okay? But right now, let's give a few minutes to the Word of God. So here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said, I knew a man, let's read, in Christ Jesus, above, so it could be 15 years, right? About 14 years ago, whether in the body or I cannot tell, already, I didn't hear anybody reading, whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God know it. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man. I would like to know that man too. Said, I knew such a man. I'd like to sit down and talk to him and ask him some questions. Said, whether in the body or out of the body, said, I cannot tell. But God knoweth that man. God knows that man. So it went on. Verse 4 says, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard, underline that, and heard what? And heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Yeah, he heard things that, no wonder we have such problems with interpreting the word of God that Paul received. No wonder all of these mysteries that he explained and put and write them in the Bible, we have such problem. And let's go on and show you something. Then he says here in verse 5 says, of such a one, notice, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Now, he's going to glory in such a one. See, but in himself, he would not glory. Because when he was caught up to the third heaven, something happened to that man when he was caught up into the third heaven and what he saw. Whether in the body or out of it, it's still a mystery. Okay, verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. So what Paul was saying, and everybody, if you understood it, you can see that he was the one. He was the one that was caught up to the third heavens. Now, let me see what verse. Unless I should be exalted. Do you get that? That was Paul. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance. Look at that. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me, the man that was caught up to the third heaven, to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measures. Verse 8. For this thing, now he's focusing now on the thorn instead of the revelation. You understand? Because the Lord gave him a thorn, or allowed a messenger of Satan to buffet him. So instead of glorying in the revelation or what he saw, he was worrying about this thorn that was in the flesh. Amen. And you know when you got a problem in the flesh. All right, a real problem in the flesh. Okay, all right, so for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. But notice verse 9. And he said, that's the Lord, unto me, my grace. Notice what he said. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ. That the what? The power of Christ, that is the Holy Spirit, may rest upon me. The anointing might continue to be with me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, somebody shout. Somebody shout. Praise God. For when I am weak, this is the way to come to the Lord. This is the way. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And the scripture said, be strong in the Lord, and then in the power of his might. Now in 2 Peter chapter 3, can you go there? Into 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's start at where Peter was speaking about Paul, our beloved brother Paul. We've had that scriptures here a few days back. Our beloved brother Paul, in many of his in epistles, we wrote many things that's hard to be understood. 2 Peter chapter what?
3.
Chapter 3, verse
16.
This second epistle, beloved, now I write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Then go down where it speak about Paul. Where is that part about the beloved brother Paul?
15.
Go on down to 15. It says that an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved, look, brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, at written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some, on a line, in which are some things. Where? In the epistles. All of his epistles. Are some things hard to be understood. So, in his epistles, those, if you search the epistles of Paul, though Paul did not die and took all those revelations with him without leaving it to the church. He didn't do that. Excuse me. He didn't do that. But Paul, in all of his epistles, he'll break it up and put a piece here and a piece there in one epistles. And he'll put a part in Romans. Then he'll go into Ephesians. And all of these books, and Paul, Colossians, and Paul broke up the revelation that he received in paradise, what he heard up there, okay, for the benefit of the church. He didn't die and without revealing these things, but for us to find them. They're there, but for us to find them. And even if we find them, many of us stumble over it. We get upset. How could God do this? And we begin to get confused and challenge God. And if we preach the message and just Jesus save, which is good, he does save, Jesus heal, Jesus deliver, he'll fill you, baptize you with the Holy Ghost, and he's coming back again. Or if we go back as far as the garden, when he made man, the heavens and the earth, and on the sixth day he made Adam and Eve and so on, that's very easy. You have no problem really with that. But it's when you begin to go a little deeper into the Word of God. And Paul said, when I would give you meat, I could only give you milk because you were not growing in God. And the church today, it's hard to give the church anything but milk. Some churches, some people, they like the milk. Don't give them anything and more than that, because they get very upset. They get upset at the wisdom under knowledge and the plan of God. So here's so it said in verse 16, 2 Peter chapter 3. As also in all, underline in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood. Did you get that? Some things hard to be understood. Which they that are unlearned, unlearning scripture. Because you can be very smart in the things of the world, but you don't understand the scriptures. Because the scripture says, the natural man, natural-minded man, cannot understand the things of the Spirit. You don't use your natural mind to explain and understand the scripture because they're foolishness to him. Okay? So it says that, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned, that's unlearning scripture, and unstable in the word of God. Unlearned and unstable rest or twist, as they do also from Genesis to Revelation, as they do also the other scriptures. When you do it now, you're not going to get away with it. You're not going to get away. You do it unto your own destruction, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall. What do you do? Fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace. Here's the security. You have to grow in grace. So these things that Paul heard and brought to the church, you've got to understand that Paul was mightily used of God to explain grace. Amen. Because everyone was under the law. The church, even the early church, was under the law. They had problem with the law, circumcision. That was one of the problem in the early church. Now here was a man came by the name of Paul that came and began to explain grace, that we are not saved by the law, but by grace are you saved through faith, the unmerited favor of God. Yes. Now, how are you going to understand that? Grace and law. The law was given by Moses, but John touched on it in John, says, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Yes. And John touched on it, and Peter and all the apostles. But here was a mighty man of God that came and began to explain what grace really is. Yes. Praise God. And go into grace. And go into many. Now he's telling you now, grow in grace. How do you do that? Amen. How can you grow in grace? And then in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. What a wonderful word. He walks in the synagogue and begin to preach that. Grace. Where the priest was preaching law. And here came a message from this man telling you, it's not by work of righteousness which you have done, but it's according to his mercy. He saves us. How? By the washing of the water of the word, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. When Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he was confused. How could this be? Shall a man enter into his mother's womb when he's old and be born again? No, that's not the way. That's not the way it is. And he didn't understand. And Paul now began to explain that the new birth, if any man be in Christ, He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And we are born. And here came John and Peter and many of it that we are born by the incorruptible word of God. How do you explain these things? Being born again by the incorruptible word of God. Not of flesh, not of blood. Jesus explained that. But not of man, but of the will of God, by the Spirit. These are hard mysteries that the church was faced with. And God raised up a man, the apostles, yes, but more so a man by the name of Paul. And here he's explaining growing grace and in the growing the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forevermore, or forever. Amen? Peter explained that, and he gave a lot of credit to Paul because he was mightily used of God. And they did not see eye to eye all the time, but Peter understood that this man was a mighty, mighty man of God. Okay, now here where was I? In Ephesians Ephesians chapter 1, start at verse 1. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, unto the church, unto the faithful in Christ Jesus. Are you following me?
Yes.
Next verse. Here's the same thing now. Grace be unto you. And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Paul and Peter had all these apostles added. Grace. Okay? Peter and Paul, they discussed that. Growing grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Her brother, our beloved brother Paul, has many things that are hard to be understood. Now, he says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. See, there's no confusion between the Father and the Son. But men got confused. They don't understand. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus prayed, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Because the same Father that Jesus has is your Father. We have the same Father. We were adopted into the beloved, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. How did he bless us? In Christ Jesus. You could never get to God but through the Word of God, or through Christ. That's the only way. That's the only way you can get to God. Go back to verse 3. It says that blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. How did he do it? In Christ Jesus. 4 says, and let's begin to focus a little bit right here. According as he had chosen us, I'm slowing down. According as he had chosen us in him, chosen us in him. We just touched verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, verse 4, go on over now, says,
according.
How did he bless us?
According
as he had chosen us. And we've had the scripture before, over and over. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now you could stop right there and stay there forever. Because that's not something that you can just quote it and run over. Before the foundation of the world. Right away, you can only throw your hands up and say, help me, Lord. Because where do you go from there? Before the foundation of the world, he in Job 38, the Lord asked Job, he said, where were you? When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy, where were you? Now, where were you? He said, when he chose us, according as he had chosen us before the foundation of the world, where were you? Because if we were taken from the dust of the earth, so where were you? So, how are you going to challenge God? How is somebody going to challenge God when he asked Job, where were you? So when you come over now, as Paul progressed and begin to speak about foreknowledge, predestination, election, where were you when I made the foundation of the world? Where were you when I predestinate and foreordained and elect? Where were you? Well, if you were not, and you don't understand, well, are you going to argue with the Creator? When he did all that by his power. According to his power. The Bible tells us that. Then he goes on. He says that in verse 3. Back there. Back up a little bit. And he says how he. When he chose us. And who had blessed us. See. Now here's the secret. Blessed be the God and Father. That's the way you understand. And you bless God for his work. You don't argue with God. When you come to scriptures that you don't understand, praise the Lord. You bless the Lord for it. Because that is what Paul was doing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Somebody please explain that. No, you don't, but you begin to praise God for it. If God said you're blessed, if God said that he has blessed you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places, then by faith in Christ you lift your hands up and you might not understand it, but God shows you the source. He said he blessed you with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the secret is getting into Christ. Not to argue, but to get into Christ. Verse 4. According as he had chosen us in him. Notice what he did. In Christ, the secret is in Jesus. Do you know him? So to grow in grace, you must get in Christ. Because he is the grace of God. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that, here is the secret, that we should be holy. See, and that's what Paul was rejoicing in that scripture this morning in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Beloved, I'm giving thanks to God for you. Right? Because God, who had chosen them from before the foundation of the world, now they were walking in these promises or in the will of God. So here now, we were chosen in Christ to be holy, holy, and without blame before him in love. And Paul found out this is what God wants. I mean, look at all the journey in the wilderness. They came out of Egypt and all that went on under Moses. And now here Paul found out the real purpose. The secret things belong to God, but those that are revealed belong to us.
Yes.
But look at where Paul had to go to find out.
Amen.
What did he find out? That we were chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. That we should be holy and
without blame.
Before him
in love.
What a revelation. Can you imagine this man coming back to Ephesus, Corinth, with such a revelation, passing it on to the Gentiles tonight,
hallelujah,
that you and I can stand here. Look at how we're standing with this word. We are not standing here tonight with some comic books or the newspaper. No, or what some men wrote. But we have a more sure word of prophecy. We are guided by the word of God. See, verse 5. Now I want you to pay attention as we go on here, slowly. Having, here's what he discovered, we chosen in Christ. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself. So here right away Paul began to remember when the disciples asked Jesus, how do we pray? And he said, pray. When you pray, he said, our Father. Oh. Our Father. You understand? He told Mary, he said, I'm going to my Father and your Father. Do you see the spirit of adoption right there? Do you see that God was looking for sons? Do you understand?
Yes.
And now we were chosen in him. And having predestinated us. That's a very big word that bothers a lot of people. And it should not. Because if you look in Christ. But if you look in your brain. Or you look in the brain of another person. You never find it there. Because that's where it's in Christ. Having. Where were you? When I made the morning stars. And the sons of God. Shouted for joy. Where were you when I, before the foundation of the world, predestinated? Predestined, having predestinated us to the adoption of children. Now, see, this is what God revealing his real purpose. He never, in the wilderness, they didn't see that. Because under the law of Moses, it was hidden. And I've got scripture where it was hidden from generation, from ages. Even angels desire to look into some of these things. But now Paul was used of God to show that having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Well, what are you going to argue with that? According to the good pleasure of his will. You have a will, don't it? Well, God has a will. What are you going to argue about that? Let me go on to the next verse first. And here's how he does it. It has to be to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he had made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 7. And now notice his plan now. Here he dealt with predestination. But now he comes now to redemption. God doesn't work like how we work. We put it, oh, redemption. Yes, we're redeemed. We don't get upset with that. But we get upset sometimes at the work that was done before redemption. Because we begin at redemption. But no, God begins at foreordination and predestination. And known, chosen. Okay? So we begin, we have no problem. In whom we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. But all of this happened because of the verses we've just read. Otherwise, this could not happen. Amen. This could not happen. So, we have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of what? Of his grace. So we have to grow in this. The riches of his grace. Then I want to go on here down. Wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Go on. Having made known unto us what? See, this was a mystery. But now we are understanding it. That we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame before him in love. And that how earlier parts that he raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And then he began to go on. The mystery of his will, he began to show it to us. Now if you step out of this, you cannot understand the scriptures. You got to stay right here in the scriptures. Don't go into your brain or some books or some other a source of revelation. You stay right here. Having made known unto us. He did. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. According to his good pleasure. Which he had purpose. In himself. Not in us. Not the preacher. But in himself. He purposed in himself. Verse 10, that, here's his purpose, because God knows he's from everlasting to everlasting. So, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, okay, we are in time and it's coming to an end. The dispensation, God is in a different dispensation from us. But what God is doing right now, true redemption is in this dispensation. But that in the dispensation of the fullness of time. That's when the Gentiles' age come to an end. Seven last place bring to being or to pass. And we begin to get into some of the mysteries in the millennium going on out to the everlasting eternal day. That in the dispensation is called the ages to come. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he, that's God, might gather together in one all things. You see, he's going to end where he began. He began in Christ. And he's going to end in Jesus. All things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are in heaven, and which are in earth. Notice, because he has a family in heaven and a family on the earth. And which are on earth. Where? Where is he going to gather it? Even in him. In him we live. And move. And have our being. He's the one that's doing the work. Praise God. Then I like this. Here it goes again. Paul picks it up even and just tremendous. In whom also we what did you do? Obtain. Anyone can tell me when you obtain something? It's like grace. Grace. Grace give it to you. We obtain it. You didn't work for it. We obtain an inheritance. Hallelujah. The riches of his grace. Oh my. When your little heart begin to love God enough, you're going to rejoice.
Hallelujah.
And if you can't rejoice at the word of God, you ought to pray, oh God, what happened to me? Because you know if you're cold. Say, God, I'm cold. I don't get excited. I'd get excited about a bologna sandwich, but I can't get excited. What happened to me? You need to talk to God. I get excited about my paycheck. God, I don't want to be carnal. I don't want to be natural. Please touch me. That's the way to pray. Because if you can lift your hands and shout and praise God when you hear this, examine yourself. and see if you're in the faith. Why can't I clap my hands? Why don't I get excited? But if I go there and somebody give me a car, I go and call everybody. But look at what God's given to me. And you should say, how come Sister Linda getting so excited about these things? And I sit there and my mind is floating about, what am I going to eat after church? You check yourself out. Because I was glad when they said to me. You know why? You know why? You know why? But he's going to find out. And every time you come to church, you should hear the reading of the will of your Father. You're hearing what your bigger elder brother died and he left for you. It's called did we have, is there a scripture that speaks about the mystery? Go back up there and I'll come back to verse 11. No, notice here. What's there, what you've got? Somebody, there's something that's laid up for you, but you don't know because it's laid up in a mystery. So someone has to break the code. Someone has to, it's locked up. So someone has to have the combination to the lock where your will is kept. What's laid up for you? It's called a mystery of his will. And that's the title. The mystery of his will. What's the mystery of his will? You need to know, right? That's why you sit out there, your lost little children. Your poor little children. And some preacher having you hoping for something. And for a piece of leaf from Jerusalem, or a little water from Jerusalem, or maybe a piece of rock. Somebody send you a little clay angel. You don't understand, see? There's a will for you. But it's locked up. It's a mystery. And somebody has to have the combination to unlock that door. And Jesus is the door. That's where the will is. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now, here, having made known unto us, shout, the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. In other words, God has so much laid up in Christ for you that God get excited to give it to you, to show it to you. Go back to the verse 11, is it? Read on. Excuse me. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. Look at this. Being what? Being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. Now, the mystery of his will that he has laid up in Christ for you. And here's what he does. He works it. And he's able that he that has begun a good work in you is able to perform it unto the day of Jesus. Then the next verse says that we... What is the mystery of his will? What's locked up there? What's hidden in Jesus Christ? What are some? Let's go on and find out. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom? He also trusted. Here's where you and God meet. Here's where we meet with God. God first trusted in Christ. Right? The meeting place. And now we also trust in Christ. That's where we meet. That is what predestination really is. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of his dear son. So God is in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. So God brings us through Christ and we meet in Christ. He predestinates you to meet in Christ. So if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. So that's what predestination is. That you meet, you and God meet in Christ. We meet the Father in Christ. Jesus. We were predestinated to be conformed to the image. But remember now, we grow in grace. And we are growing up to the place where we can meet with God, not as babes or just children, but as sons. In whom he also trusted. After that ye have heard the word of truth. The gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believe, you were sealed. No, not before, but after. After you believed, you were sealed. With the Holy Spirit, a promise. Now, you're upset with, because how could God predestinate somebody else? It tells you, just meet him in Christ. You want to know if you're predestinated? Just go ahead. Meet him in Christ. Everybody's got to meet him there. Go ahead and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Go ahead and accept the grace of God and begin to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God and find out who is predestinated. But if you don't have faith and say, I don't believe, well, that's your choice. He says, which is the earnest, the down payment. You want your down payment tonight? Get saved. Get the Holy Ghost. Without that, you don't have anything. It's the, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance. Okay, that's the down payment until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, the same thing like 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. He's giving thanks to God. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks, the same thing, for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you, now what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding, now, greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So you got to let that power work in you. That's the Holy Ghost, which he wrought. The same spirit that worked in Christ, let it work in you, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand here in heavenly places. And we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. Then it goes on, far above principalities and powers and dominion and every name that is named, not only focus in this world, but over also in the world to come, but also in that which is to come. And I put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So you're getting it through the church. Now, I don't have time, but I'm gonna start a little bit right here. We've dealt with Ephesians 1 verse 4, haven't we? And there are words that we use like predestination. And I want to take my time and explain this between now and Wednesday. Predestination a little bit. Before the foundation of the world. So we'll understand these things, what God is saying. Because sometimes we don't understand. Now let me read. Predestination said we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of God's Son. Now, we were born with the image of the first Adam. Right now you sit in that framework. But the work of God is to deliver us, that when Jesus Christ returns, or before you die, you will not die with this image. Amen. I'm not talking about the body. I'm talking about the nature. Yes. We were sometimes the children of wrath, even as others. That means we had the nature of Adam. But before you die, you've got to overcome that nature. Yes. How? Whereby are given unto us, Peter tells us, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might become partakers of, now, the divine nature of God, which is Christ. Christ is the image of God. So pay attention. So in Psalms, and I won't finish this, it's only a start to another phase of our lesson. So you have to keep listening. So in Psalm 73, verse 20, you got to pay attention now. It tells us that as a dream, when one awake, like this life that you're living right now, it's like a dream. It's going to pass away. As a dream, when one awake, Psalm 73, verse 10, when one awake, that's when Christ returned, when one awake, so, O Lord, verse 20, so, O Lord, so as a dream, when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. What image? That's the image of the first Adam. There's only two images. 1 Corinthians 15, we'll go there, not tonight. But when God, when this world, this age come to an end, and if you are still in this image, the corruptible, and you never change, or you die without making the change, becoming a new creature. This image cannot enter into the kingdom of God, and God will despise it. Okay? Oh Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. You didn't give it up. Do you understand? What we have now, as we're born the image of the first Adam, what you were born with, you have to get rid of that. How? Through the process of sanctification, mortification, justification, where you become a new creature. This corruptible must put on incorruptible. We've got to get rid of mortal by immortality. To them who by patience continue in well-doing, seek for glory and honor, immortality, eternal life. See, you've got to take on a new creature, a new image, which is Jesus Christ. As we're born the image of the first, there's another image. So when the kingdom come, you must be ready. You're not going to be ready over in the kingdom. It's in the church that you get ready. And Paul saw that we were predestinated to be conformed. Not to the image of Adam, but we need to get out of that and get into the image of the second or the last Adam. Hallelujah. What does the next verse say? Verse 21. Thus my heart was grieved and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. That means what he's saying now. When he saw the prosperity of the wicked and he was jealous. Okay? Very jealous. And, you know, complaining and all that. But when he went to the house of God, he discovered something. He discovered, hey, I don't have to be jealous. I don't have to be upset at what they're prospering. My blessing is coming. Say, my blessing is coming. And when he discovered that all these things come upon us to change us. I'm being changed now into a new image. So he said, I'm not jealous anymore of the wicked, of what they have and what they're carrying on. They can go to party and do whatever they want to do, and I'm on with my Bible. I'm not jealous anymore. Amen. Because I'm working for a new image. I'm working to get out of this image. I'm on my way to glory. From glory to glory. All right, now let's read on a little bit quickly there to go somewhere. Nevertheless, I'm continuing with thee. Thou wast older than me by thy right hand. You see how God carry you? You never get that image without God. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. That's the word. And afterward, receive me where? With a new image. From glory to glory. From glory to glory. Now look at Psalms. Is it 17:15? Read that for me quickly for time. Ask for me. Here's what he's saying now. He showed us now that you need to get out of that image because God will despise it. The one that you were born with, Psalm 73. Now he's going over now to show you the other image. Yes. Can't you see that? Even the Old Testament. Ask for me. Ask for me. I will behold thy face in righteousness. We with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, we are changing to the same image from glory to glory. That's the image that by the Spirit, that's the image of God that you need. I shall be satisfied. Now notice, don't be satisfied with what you have now. This image you're carrying because, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. You wait till you get to the doctor and he tell you a bad report and you start screaming and holler. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied. David wasn't satisfied with all the money he has. David gave more money to the house of God than anybody alive. He said, I will be satisfied when I awake. That means rebirth. Born again. Born of the Spirit. Awake thou that sleepest. You can be reborn tonight. Only Jesus satisfied. I will be satisfied. When? When I awake with thy likeness. When I awake being found conformed to the image of Christ. The image of God. That's the only thing that will satisfy you or me. I will be satisfied. And not until then. He satisfies us with his glory. With his countenance. With his righteousness. The only satisfaction you have is in Christ. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. And that's the image that's not despised. I shall be satisfied. When? When I awake in thy likeness. Let us make man in our own image and in our likeness. Man cannot be satisfied any other way. That's the only way you'll be satisfied. So God, before the foundation of the world, had chosen us and predestinated us to be conformed to an image, the image of God, image of Christ, that we will be satisfied with. So God didn't do us any evil. God did us great things. To be conformed to the image of his Son. That's the purpose of God. What a wonderful God. To be like him. He didn't make anybody to be conformed to the image of the devil. It's because of the fall of Adam in Genesis chapter 5. Read that. When Adam begot a son in his own likeness, 120 years or 30 years after, and is his own image, he forsook the image of God. But Jesus Christ came back, came to restore that which was lost. Amen. To restore the image of God, the knowledge of God, the understanding of God, the glory of God. Hallelujah. And to bring many sons unto glory. Amen. Now, we're going to, Wednesday night, the Lord's willing, predestination. And we talk about before the foundation of the world. Would you like that? Before the foundation of the world. I think I should stop right there because that would be crowding you with too much.